You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Much has been written about the attempted assassination of former US President Donald Trump. But one of the finest pieces appeared in the Irish Times today by Fintan O'Toole, so we've asked him to join us on the programme. Fintan, thank you for joining us. Shocking and all as it was, it wasn't really surprising when you think about it, was it, given the culture of the gun in American politics and American society?
Good evening, Matt. Yeah, one of the weirdest things, I think, about the events was President Joe Biden saying a couple of hours later this violence was unheard of in America, and it probably raised more doubts about Biden's cognitive capacity than anything else, because you don't have to know a huge amount about America, you know, to know that American politics has a terrible history of violence. You know, you've had three American presidents who've been assassinated in office, attempt to kill Ronald Reagan, you know, Gerald Ford, candidates like Robert Kennedy, huge figures like Martin Luther King. And of course, it's a culture which is saturated in guns. You know, the gun that the guy used to try to kill Trump and unfortunately to kill somebody and badly wound two other people. You know, the AR-15. I mean, this is a military grade weapon. You know, this is the stuff that the Provisional IRA were trying to, you know, import during the Troubles. It was banned in America, and then, you know, the gun lobby managed to have it unbanned, and it's now kind of, I think the National Rifle Association describes it as America's rifle, you know. So,
and sorry, no greater supporter of the NRA politically than Donald Trump.
Absolutely, and it's vice versa. I mean, the NRA formally endorsed Trump in the last couple of months, you know, as their presidential candidate. Trump has boasted about being the most pro-gun occupant of the Oval Office of the White House ever. And it's not just that he's endorsed sort of so-called gun rights, it's that he has very specifically, you know, sent out messages to armed groups, you know, far right militia groups, particularly, that, you know, he appreciates their support. That, you know, I mean, the Proud Boys, for example, you know, when he was asked to condemn them, said that they should, you know, stand back and stand by, you know. And he's very much fed this historical rhetoric that America is on the brink of civil war, and that these you know, arms groups need to be ready for it, you know. And of course, we saw the results of that partly on January 6th with the invasion of the Capitol. I mean, this is a president who sat and watched on TV while his own fans were chanting about how they were going to hang his own vice president, right? And did nothing about it. I mean, allowed this to unfold for hours. So, while nobody in their right minds can, you know, endorse the attempt to assassinate Trump, and must feel terrible sorrow for the man who was killed at the rally as well, you know, there is an irony in this, right? Which is that Trump has done probably more than anybody else to encourage this culture of political violence.
How much is it going to change things, though? Is it as significant in some respects as Joe Biden's meltdown during the TV debate, which dragged away a lot of his support, given that Trump has his support. The fact that he was the target of an attempted assassination, is that really going to give him much more voting support come November?
I think it will add to it, Matt. You know, I mean, I think you're absolutely right to, you know, suggest really that the Biden's meltdown is by far the biggest factor, right? And it's a factor, by the way, which has been at play for the last 2 years. You know, it's extraordinary the degree to which the Democrats, who have made their calling card against Trump honesty and integrity. You know, we tell the truth, he lies. Trump absolutely does lie. But you have had the Democrats effectively gaslighting the American public about Biden, you know, and about Biden's cognitive abilities, you know, and this stuff has been there staring people in the face for quite a long time now. And it was only that sort of meltdown on the debate that sort of suddenly caused this sort of breakthrough of reality. And you know, that undoubtedly is the main factor. But I think...
Fintan, not so much as it brought about a change in the candidate. And what may be really significant now is that, having failed to remove Biden as their candidate with somebody else, they might find it impossible to somebody who would be brave enough to do so now after the failed assassination attempt on Trump.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So it ups the ante, doesn't it, in personal terms, right? So the element of risk, personal risk that's involved in all of this is very severe. But there's no question but that the assassination attempt and Trump's immediate response to it helps him even further, right? So it makes it even more inevitable that unless the Democrats do something radical, Trump is going to win. We've just seen now in the last hour that the courts have thrown out one of the major criminal cases against Trump, which is the one in terms of hoarding and using classified documents, which is probably the most straightforward of the cases. That's been thrown out in its entirety by a Trump-appointed judge. You've seen the judicial system and the judges that Trump was able to appoint clearing the decks for him. So the stakes are being raised all the time. I mean, really, Trump is being given carte blanche by the courts to do whatever he wants when he's reelected. You know, they're pretty much saying the president now is above the law. That's new in American history. I mean, that was one of the most basic reasons for the American Revolution, right? To say that we don't have a monarch. We don't have somebody who is outside the law. And the American Supreme Court has now said, well, actually we do.
But sorry, Fintan, just to finish, that also strikes me. You spent a lot of your recent years living in the United States and America, 6 months a year. And when you say about that, what sparked the initial American Revolution and the belief in the law, how is it that there wasn't more outrage at what Trump incited on the 6th of January 2021, that there wasn't a greater fight back by the establishment to rid itself of the control of Donald Trump, and that instead that he has managed to take a firmer grasp on the Republican Party and the institutions of the state? What does that say about what's going on in the American psyche?
It is extraordinary, Matt, when you stand back from it like that, you know, and you think, I mean, if you remember back to the week after January 6th, most of the Republican establishment was saying, this is over with Trump. You know, he's destroyed himself. This can't go on. We have to rid ourselves of this monster who's taken over our party. All of that kind of stuff was going on. And within a fortnight, I mean, they had sold out completely. They'd gone crawling back to him, you know. And what it tells us, I think, is two things. I mean, one obvious thing, which is that the partisanship has gone so far that there's, and Trump has said this pretty much, there's nothing that he can do that's going to lose him the support of the Republican establishment and of his own voters. So really, you now have a kind of corruption of a whole political culture, because it's just about, he's our guy, and therefore, however bad he gets, we're going to support that. I think the second thing it tells you is the weakness of the institutional system. you know, you have obviously you have the capacity for somebody like Trump to be elected without ever getting a majority of the popular vote. You have the ridiculous system where, you know, the power of the Supreme Court, which is lodged for life in this unaccountable group of people and is, again, highly partisan. I mean, at least in Ireland, you know, we complain about our judicial system, but at least, you know, overwhelmingly, people trust the fact that the judicial system is independent of politics. It's not independent of politics in the US. So there's the institutional failure, I think, is huge. And that failure of people being able to, you know, stand aside from their own partisan tribal identities and say, you know, objectively, this is terrible. Objectively, this is leading us down the road to an autocracy, which is really what's facing Americans right now.
Okay. Fintan O'Toole of the Irish Times, thank you. We're joined now by two of our excellent contributors on American Affairs, Larry Donnelly, we'll hear from in a moment. But first, the Business Post's Marion McKeown. And Marion, one of the things that really has been discussed a lot since the assassination attempt on Donald Trump is how the Secret Service allowed it to happen. How could it be when it must have been obvious that Trump would be a target at some stage, that it could have been allowed to happen?
Well, you know, Matt, this is the question that I think a lot of people are looking at first and foremost, and the Secret Service hasn't been forthcoming as of yet. How this works, and I did speak with a friend of mine who was a very senior FBI agent, and she said that, not second-guessing the Secret Service, but that basically how this normally works is the advance team goes in, it is the Secret Service advance team, you have inner perimeter, and then it's a three-ring thing. This shooter would have fallen into the outer perimeter on a rooftop 150 yards away, which she said would absolutely in any advance check have constituted part of that third perimeter. It seems that it was just a colossal oversight on the Secret Service's part. You know, I've been to a dozens of these events, and they all take place in similar places, in rural areas, and it's usually for fairgrounds or, you know, an agricultural setting, but they always have an elevated roof behind the stage, and on that roof you always have Secret Service snipers. That's just part of it, and that's always the backdrop. Now, usually any other roofs that are in the, you know, outer perimeter are also covered. There would be at least one or two local police officers or Secret Service officers. So the fact that they didn't do that is shocking. But to me, what's even more surprising, we've all seen that iconic image of Trump standing with his fist raised with the blood coming down from his ear. And in one of the shots by the Associated Press, there is a clear, his body is completely exposed and his head, even after he had been shot at, there could have been a second shooter. And there's, for several seconds, the Secret Service allow him to stand up on the stage, the front of his body exposed, raise his fist. And then once again, as he's getting into the car, his head is visible up over the top of the car as he kind of stands up on it as he's getting in. This is inexcusable, given that the risk that had already presented itself had happened, the worst case scenario. And as I said, there's always the possibility of a second shooter, that this could have been a coordinated attack. So the Secret Service have a lot of questions to answer.
What does it say about him that his instinctive reaction as well was to actually pump his fist into the air to shout, fight, 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 to almost to seek advantage out of the near miss?
Well, I think it's you know, this is who Donald Trump is. But it also plays to, there are two things. This is a different campaign to 2016 and 2020. The amount of religious iconography that is surrounding this campaign, every stop you go to, there are pictures of Trump with Jesus with his hand on his, you know, shoulder. There are pictures of Trump walking with lambs and Jesus. You wouldn't believe the stuff. So this is playing into two things, Trump's Messiah complex and also his persecution complex, because his key refrain at every event is, they're coming for you and I'm just standing in the way. And when he was indicted, he said, I've been indicted for you. And, you know, using very sort of biblical almost language. So the fact that he stood up with the clenched fist, you know, it for his followers, there is their leader taking a bullet for them and rising again. And of course, all the talk in the super churches and the evangelical churches is that this was divine intervention, that Trump is the chosen one. And, you know, I think it has only increased the religious fervor and the belief that there is something special about Donald Trump. And you know, I think that this will give him a boost anyway. You know, Ronald Reagan, the assassination attempt in 1981, sent his approval ratings soaring. They'd been pretty dismal before that.
But they dropped it in 5 months, didn't they, for Reagan?
They did, but we have 4 months to the election. I think we'll wait and see. I hope that Donald Trump will take this moment to reconsider the campaign and to make a more unified approach. But we'll see. We've seen two of his vice presidential candidates, J.D. Vance and Tim Scott, come out, with very sort of provocative texts and very provocative statements.
But just for those who aren't familiar, what sort of things are they saying?
Well, they're basically blaming Joe Biden. And this
how is it Joe Biden's fault? Is it because of some people have been texting in the ads that Biden has been running, the negative advertising against Trump in recent times has included a phrase about having a bullseye for Donald Trump?
Well, that wasn't in an ad. That was in a conversation with donors, a private conversation with donors that was leaked last week. Biden had been speaking to donors, and what he had said was that he didn't want any more talk about whether or not he was running, that he was running. And he said, and now it's time to put a bullseye on Trump. He was saying that to the donors in terms of focusing on Donald Trump and on the risks that he presented were he to be reelected. So this is not part of an ad. But, you know, obviously, the Republicans, who are much tougher than Democrats, and they play a much tougher game when it comes to elections, see this as an opportunity to puncture the Democratic ball and to say, you cannot attack Donald Trump like this again, because look what happened. You said he must be stopped, and look what happened. So I think that it will certainly probably make the Democrats more cowed in their attacks on Donald Trump going forward. And of course, we've seen two other direct results. One is that Donald Trump's Truth Social stock has soared. He's now worth $1 billion more than he was before the assassination attempt, on paper at least. And secondly, Judge Aileen Cannon down in Florida now felt emboldened, I think, to come out today and to dismiss the case, the classified documents case, and say that the Jack Smith, the special counsel, hadn't been constitutionally appointed, which was a direct cue from Clarence Thomas in the presidential immunity ruling.
Okay, Larry Donnelly, as you're a legal expert as well, is that the end of the prosecution of Donald Trump over taking the documents, the classified documents, from the White House, or is it likely to be appealed to a higher judge who could reinstate the charges?
Yes, it will be appealed, I think, almost immediately. And it should be said that the Judge Cannon's decision is afoul of Justice Department, I suppose, practice, what has almost become common procedure in terms of the appointment of special counsel. Now, I and others would have critiques of special counsel and their behavior. I don't think Jack Smith falls into that category, however. I think this legal theory that Clarence Thomas has endorsed and Judge Cannon has embraced subsequently, it's questionable. And I think that when it goes up to an appeal to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, it could get quite a different result. In this instance, one often wonders, and I hope I'm not being too glib here, if Aileen Cannon is almost auditioning to be a Supreme Court justice in another Donald Trump presidency.
Let's hear a little bit of what U.S. President Joe Biden said about the shooting at Donald Trump last night.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the need for us to lower the temperature in our politics. And to remember, while we may disagree, we are not enemies. We're neighbors, we're friends, co-workers, citizens, and most importantly, we're our fellow Americans. We must stand together. Yesterday's shooting at Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania calls on all of us to take a step back. Take stock of where we are, how we go forward from here.
And Larry, what are the chances of that happening?
Yeah, I'm not so sure in the long term, but it needs to be said, Matt. I mean, speaking, I suppose, before politics, speaking as an American, I mean, this is a really, really sad moment for our country. And I think we need to distinguish between shock and surprise. I mean, this was shocking to me at a deep level. But Was it surprising on reflection? No, I'm afraid not. And that's because we do have this society that is so angry, divided in many respects, pessimistic about the future of the country. We have an economic model that is broken. We have all this hyper-partisanship across the aisle. We also have a sick gun culture. And let's not forget, the gun that was used in this incident was legally held. It was entirely legal for someone to own this weapon of war, which, again, I heard Fintan O'Toole talk about earlier. This is another sad manifestation of the very low point that the United States finds itself in right now. And that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, and I think Marion pointed it out, was that, you know, again, from a political point of view, and we can't escape politics in this context at this juncture in time, this is likely to galvanize Donald Trump's support. And it's noteworthy that this happened in Pennsylvania. The Real Clear Politics aggregates have Trump 5 percentage points ahead in Pennsylvania. This is likely only to stimulate that number. And I know there's a long time between now and November, but Donald Trump is in pole position. Joe Biden cannot win the White House. Given the Electoral College realities, he cannot win without winning Pennsylvania.
But Larry,
in deep trouble.
Could it be as well that the Democrats may have been maneuvering behind the scenes to find somebody who would step forward to replace Biden as the candidate? But could that be all the more difficult now in that trying to find a Democrat who would be willing to, as they see it, likely to be beaten by Trump?
Yeah, I think that's one element of it. I think that's one of the reasons why you've seen, for instance, Gretchen Whitmer be so strong in her statements that she is with Biden and not willing to entertain a bid. That's one element of what's going on here. And as to why I think Biden's position, at least within the Democratic Party, is stronger than it was just a few days ago. The other thing is, I think this changes the game at many levels. Politics moves fast, as we all know. The discourse now is drastically different. This week, we're going to see Donald Trump at the Republican National Convention, where he will be feted as an absolute hero. And then we will see a huge amount of focus on who he selects. Indeed, today we're supposed to find out as his running mate. That begs the question. There was some momentum. There were people saying Trump, Biden needs to step aside. Will the momentum for that change start to die down as the news cycle changes? And indeed, given the upheaval precipitated by an assassination attempt, will there be a case that, look, we need to, for stability's sake, we can't go in and have a brokered convention, et cetera, et cetera. That would be damaging. And Biden rides this thing out, which in my view, from a Democratic point of view, would still be the worst course of action. But I think it's entirely more plausible now than I would have just a few days ago.
Marion, what can we expect from the rest of the week at the Republican Congress?
Well, I think exactly as Larry said, Trump is going to be greeted as almost a messiah there, because obviously there will be 50,000 people there. I'm heading there now, and he has sent a media note to us that he'll be briefing the media every morning while he's there as well to make sure that he does stay in the frame. Traditionally, the nominee, you know, only arrives on the day of the nomination, but Trump is there for the whole thing. I think that he has said that he'll announce the vice president tonight. It will be interesting to see whether that is somebody very combative like J.D. Vance or whether he goes for somebody who's more of a background type person like Doug Burgum, and whether or not the assassination attempt will change his mind about who he was going to pick. But I think, yeah, for the Democrats, this is all looking very, very despairing at the moment, because who would want to step in and replace Biden at this juncture? It would be, you know, you're not just building the plane while you're flying at this stage. I mean, you're flying without a parachute or anything at all. It's going to be very, very difficult. And I think that there is almost a sense.
It's only July. You know, Marion, yeah. One thing we should have learned in recent times is that. Yeah. All right. We'll leave it there. Marion McCombe, we'll be talking to you again tomorrow night. We'll get Cal's take on things as well when the two of you join us after 6 o'clock on the programme. And Larry Donnelly, I know we're going to be talking to you a lot in the weeks and months to come as well. Thank you both for joining us this evening. And indeed, people are saying, actually, Marion, are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah, because, and there is a listener making the point, has everyone forgotten about the man who actually lost his life while everybody is glorifying Donald Trump escaping with his?
Yes, a father of two who turned around, tried to protect his family and was killed in the process, and two other people seriously injured as well. So we should have mentioned that, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for that, Mary McKeown and Larry Donnelly.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.